So, as you recall, we started reflecting on the immediate past and the pandemic and the lessons that we've learned on day one. Yesterday, we moved on to thinking about the big changes in the political environment and what that means for science and science policy, and how that will give us opportunities to engage with society and with big challenges. And that brings us today, where we're focusing on one of those big challenges, transitioning to a sustainable future. So I'm going to introduce your host for today, Thomas Coates Ulrichsen from Cambridge, who is going to introduce the theme and the speakers. So thank you very much, Thomas, for all that you've done preparing the conference and for today, and I will hand over to you.
So thank you very much, Phil, for the introduction, and again for hosting the whole summit as well. I think it's been a really interesting couple of days so far. Lots of really exciting discussions, lots of sort of quite energizing discussions as well, lots of food for thought about how we might move forward to next year. So again, so welcome to the day three session, which really focuses on how do we transition to a more sustainable future. So to echo a sentiment I think that's fed through the summit so far, I really do wish we could have all been here together in person, having just enjoyed a fabulous dinner in Worcester College in Oxford, a few drinks in the bar afterwards, and importantly, all the sort of opportunities that really helps to unlock, all the networks, it really helps to build and cement relationships that we build that we can take forward. Now, we are where we are, so we're making do, and I really am looking forward to hopefully an in-person event next year. So our session today really builds on the fantastic discussion we've had so far, to focus our attention on how universities, companies, governments, and societies can come together to respond to the complex and wicked challenges resulting from climate change, bringing the same kind of energy and commitment and sense of urgency that we witnessed in the fight against COVID over the last 18 months. Now, finding solutions to these many and varied challenges, accelerating the transition to a net zero society by 2050, and hopefully, if at all possible, much earlier than that, will require the development and deployment of diverse sets of technologies and solutions at both pace and scale. Now, as the number of countries committing to delivering net zero by 2050 gathers pace, and pressures grow to switch from a decade of deliberation to a decade of delivery, the question we really want to confront in this session, next slide, please, is what more can we do to better mobilize the partnerships between universities, companies, governments, and societies to develop solutions at pace and scale to help accelerate the urgent transition needed to deliver a net zero carbon society? What can we learn from experiments taking place around the world in different settings, different sectors, different universities, from our experience in tackling COVID to inform our approach and our moving forward? So to help us with our discussions and the breakouts that are coming up later on, we've lined up some great speakers. But before we dive into the keynotes, to help set the scene for our discussions, I just wanted to present the findings from the very short survey that we conducted over the past few days. Next slide, please. So the first question we asked was whether organizations have publicly announced ambitions for net zero by 2050. Now, 60% of respondents said they had done so. Interestingly, when we broke that down by large company, by the companies responding, all of which were large, and universities, almost all large companies had said they'd done so, compared to about half of universities. Next slide, please. The second question we asked was whether organizations have developed specific plans or roadmaps laying out how they will achieve net zero by 2050. Now, here the response became a bit more mixed. We found that relatively few had detailed roadmaps in place. About a third said they had announced plans with some waypoints, while 18% had announced plans but with no detailed roadmaps or waypoints sort of behind them. Encouragingly, just 8% of respondents said their organizations currently had no ambitions to develop such plans or roadmaps. Next slide, please. The final question we asked was around where you, universities and large companies in the room, sort of saw the greatest need for change in order to better mobilize these partnerships to help develop solutions in this area. Now, here we see the importance placed on developing new incentives for organizations to change behaviors, the importance of developing government policies and funding programs, and of developing greater clarity on the pathways and roadmaps to take ideas and technologies emerging from the labs all the way into deployment in the real world at both pace and scale. Half of you also talked about the need for improvement in technology development and demonstration specifically, and the partnership models that we need to put in place, and the need for greater coordination of effort were also highlighted. So I hope may help to stimulate and guide discussions later on in the breakouts. And I know so the findings that from this very short survey chime very strongly with what our two keynote speakers are about to talk about, drawing on some very exciting initiatives they are both involved with.